Thursday the 15th of October, Beis Mar Cheshvan, Rabbi Doctor Rutenberg, Shlomo Rutenberg, and the subject from Gateshead, and the subject is Asher Yotza on our wonderful bodies.
Everybody take heart, there are diagrams on the... I am proud to be an Asher Yotza Yid. Let me explain. Many years ago, the Maskilim were trying to find every way they could to depict the Haredim as being old-fashioned, outdated, and their outlook worthless. To this end, the secular Jewish press, controlled by the Maskilim, published an article insulting the Haredim for having nothing better to do than to discuss the laws of how to behave in the toilet. The article called the Haredim Asher Yotza Yid. The students in the Mir Yeshiva were angered and upset about this new insult being leveled at them. The famous Mashgiach of Mir, Rabbi Ruchim Lubavitch Zecher Tzadik Libracha, addressed the Bochrim and explained to them how to view the Brocha of Asher Yotza, and indeed, how wonderful it is to be a person who appreciates the significance of this Brocha and the workings of the human body to which it relates. Even more, said Rabbi Ruchim, every time a person goes to the toilet to relieve himself, he experiences an episode which is fraught with danger. So much so that, and I'll repeat his words in Yiddish as I heard them from Rav Matisyahu Salomon Zalig Zunzan Ad Meir Beeswim. Volt er gewusst wie viel Sakonis er geht er durch dorten, wenn er kommt er reus, volt er geschickt er telegram in der Heim zu sorgen, ich bin er reus beschommen. If a person would be aware of how many dangers he faces when he is in there, in the toilet, then when he comes out, he would send a telegram home to say, Baruch Hashem, I came out safely. Indeed, he added, it is a source of pride and honor to be counted amongst those who do understand and do appreciate the significance of this bracha and the revelation of the Chasdei Hashem in which it represents. We should all feel it's a privilege to be called Asher Yotza Yid. A few months ago, Rabbi Falk Schlitter suggested that I should give some shiurim on the bracha of Asher Yotza, since I, as a doctor, I would have a doctor's insight into the Niflaas HaBori Yisborach. Today's shiur is a condensed version of three shiurim that resulted from his suggestion. To start with, I was intrigued by the words Yotzar and Boro. These two words are translated roughly as formed and created. In Sifrei Kabbalah, these correspond to different stages in creation, described as worlds. The highest of these is Olam HaAtzilus, the world of emanation, whatever that means, which is entirely spiritual. Below this is Olam HaBriya, the world of creation. The third level is Olam HaYetzira, the world of formation. The physical world in which we live is called Olam HaAsiya, the world of action or doing. Taking this as fact, we are faced with a tremendous difficulty. The bracha starts with Asher Yotzar Es HaOdam B'Chokhma, who formed man with wisdom. And it continues, Uvoro Voi Nekovim Nekovim Chaludim Chaludim, and created in him many openings and many cavities. Surely the physical should have been described with the word that is appropriate for the physical world. But also Voi, that the openings and the cavities were made in this physical world, the world of Asiya. Why use the word Boro, which relates to the almost totally spiritual world of creation just below Olam HaAtzilus? Rav Schwab explains that the repetition of the words Nekovim Nekovim and Kalulim Kalulim is not only a form of speech to indicate many openings and many cavities, the repetition teaches a profound concept. The human body consists of 248 limbs, Ramach Evorim, and 365 sinews, Shasogidim. We are taught that each physical entity has a corresponding spiritual entity. In this case, the 248 positive mitzvahs and 365 prohibitions in the Torah. So too, says Rav Schwab, each of the physical nekovim has a spiritual counterpart, and each of the physical nekovim chalulim has its spiritual equivalent. To teach us, here in the bracha about the workings of the body, that man is not just a physical creature. Not only is man endowed with an neshama in the general totality of his personality, but each part of man has its own spiritual dimension. When a person uses any part of his body, he is also affecting the spiritual world. Let us move on to our first dose of the doctor's perspective. We're all familiar with the term incontinence, which refers to the indignity of being unable to control bladder or bowels, or chas v'sholem, both bladder and bowels. The words she'im yiposeach echad mehem, according to some mafarshim, refers specifically to this type of incontinence. But I would like to introduce you to the general concept of continence and incontinence. For a vessel to be continent, it must be able to receive, retain, and release its contents in a controlled manner. A cistern or tank of a toilet is a simple example. Water has to be able to enter the cistern. If not, then any water it contains will be discharged the first time the cistern is flushed, and the cistern is then useless until it is refilled with water. The cistern itself must be capable of holding enough water to efficiently flush away the contents of the toilet. The cistern mustn't leak if it is to function properly, and finally, it must have a mechanism which will release its water in an efficient way, not too much at a time, nor too little. Let's apply this to one of the most important organs in the body, the heart. The heart is similar to two cisterns working at the same time, the major difference being that since the heart is a pump, its contents do not stay static for more than a split second. The blood must be kept moving on all the time. The diagrams you have in front of you, like all medical illustrations, what is on the right of the diagram is on the left of the body, because it's as if you're looking at the person. When the blood returns to the heart from the lungs, it is now a bright red color since it contains oxygen. It pours into the left atrium through two pulmonary veins directly from the lungs. The blood is gently pushed into the left ventricle by the muscle action of the atrium. And the valve between the atrium and the ventricle now closes, and the outlet valve, called the aortic valve, opens, while the powerful muscle of the left ventricle thrusts the blood out into the aorta, which is the main artery that distributes the blood to the whole body. What we have seen is that the heart is a vessel which receives, retains, and releases its contents in a controlled fashion. The whole sequence of events is coordinated by specialized tissues which generate an electrical impulse and distribute it to the ventricles so that they contract simultaneously. All this is done 60 to 80 times a minute, slower in fit athletes, faster during exercise, and from birth till the last moment of life, the heart keeps going. Imagine now what happens if part of the heart becomes incontinent. Let's say the aortic valve starts to leak. Some of the blood which was pumped out now runs back into the left ventricle each time the valve closes, but not completely. Obviously, the left ventricle has to work harder to pump enough blood around the body. So at first it develops thicker, stronger muscle. If the leak continues, the ventricle eventually starts to enlarge. And as it does so, it becomes less efficient. The struggling heart is now said to be failing. Without treatment, this becomes a vicious cycle which can end in death. So that fits exactly the words of the bracha. She'im yiposeach echad mehem, I efshar lehiskayem. If one of the openings which should be able to close remains open, even in part, disaster can ensue. Similarly, if one of the outlets from the heart is blocked, it can happen, for example, that a clot of blood forms in a leg. If a large part of the clot breaks off, it will be carried by the bloodstream to the heart. If it then lodges in the main pulmonary artery and blocks it completely, within a couple of beats, the heart will stop. If it only partially blocks the main artery, or it blocks only one branch thereof, the effect on the heart is that it has to increase the force of contraction to the right of the right ventricle. This can have devastating effects on the lungs, and the heart will go rapidly into failure. She'im yisosei mechad mehem, I efshar lehiskayem. Again, disastrous consequences. We have also seen how the words of the bracha fit the description of the heart. Nekovim, nekovim, many openings. Chalulim, chalulim, and many chambers. So succinct, but accurate. Pearls are made up of many layers of pearly wax. Rabbeisai, when Chazal chose words to insert in this bracha, you should know that every word is a carefully selected pearl, put in the exact place in the bracha to convey layer upon layer of deep meaning. So far we have seen that the words Yotzar and Bora have deep meaning and significance. So too the repetition of Chalulim, Chalulim, and Nekovim, Nekovim. We have also explored just one example in the body of continence and incontinence, and seen how the bracha describes in a very few select words the intricate functioning of the heart and chas v'sholom heart failure. Now let us return to the words of the bracha. Asher yotzar es ha'adom b'chokhmo. To understand the connection between Asher Yotzar and Chochmah, I need to tell you a story. The Gemara in Ma'id Katan Daf Tes Amud Aleph relates that Rabbi Yonasan ben Asmai and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim learned Maseches Nedorim under Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. When they had finished the Masechta, they took leave of Rabbi Shimon in the evening. The next morning, they came again to take leave of their Rebbe. He asked them, "Didn't you say goodbye yesterday?" They replied with a proof from Sukkim in Sefer Melachim that if one took leave of one's teacher but stayed overnight in the same place, then one should take leave again the next day. Rabbi Shimon told his son to go to these two people for a bracha and declared, "Ki anoshim shel tsura heim." They are men of tsura. Rashi there explains this to mean chachomim. They were men of wisdom. From here we see that the expression tsura, which is the same root as yotzar, indicates chokhmah. So you now see that the ideal words to describe the creation of man with chokhmah are asher yotzar. However, asher yotzar es ha'adam b'chokhmah can be understood two ways. Firstly, that Hashem has given man wisdom which no other creature possesses. Secondly, that the wisdom of Hashem was invested in the formation of man, so that mibesori echze eloka, from my flesh I can perceive the Ribbono Shel Olam. When we see the tremendous wisdom contained within the human body, we can glimpse the immense chokhmah of Hashem. Uvora voy nekovim nekovim chalulim chalulim. This bracha is intended to be said after emptying bladder or bowels. So let us look briefly at these two systems. The first opening that the food or drink encounter is, of course, the mouth. The teeth chew the food, and the tongue mixes it with saliva to enable it to slide down through the throat and into the gullet. The muscle walls of the gullet push the food down to the stomach, even if the person is upside down. The stomach has an opening controlled by a muscle called a sphincter. Sphincters are muscular rings which control openings into or out of hollow organs. Once in the stomach, the food is mixed with acid, which kills most germs, and some more digestive juices. The exit from the stomach is also controlled by a sphincter. The next part of the digestive system is the duodenum. Here the food is mixed with more digestive juices, this time from the pancreas. Now, pancreatic juice contains enzymes, which are substances which break down the food into simple compounds, which can then be absorbed and utilized by the body. The Ramban, in his Igeres Kedusha, says something amazing. And what he says was not discovered by medical science for hundreds of years after the Ramban. He says that all parts of the body take what they need from the bloodstream, but many substances that are not needed are nevertheless taken up, simply because they are dissolved in the blood. Not so the brain. The brain, he says, is very selective and only takes the finest substances. When medical science discovered this, it was called the blood-brain barrier. For example, some antibiotics will treat infection anywhere else in the body, but not in the brain. The brain doesn't allow them entry. Returning to our journey through the digestive system, the rest of the small bowel, 32 feet of it, is lined with special lining which increases the amount of surface available for absorbing substances from the contents of the bowel by many thousand times. The job of the small bowel is absorption, and this is best done from liquids. So the small bowel hardly absorbs water. The liquid contents of the small bowel are emptied into the large bowel. The job of the large bowel is to absorb water and convert the liquid it received into a solid or semi-solid that can then be passed out of the body. The last part of the large bowel is the rectum, which collects all the solid waste and informs the brain that it needs to be emptied. We mentioned the tremendous absorptive surface of the small bowel. This is achieved by the lining being very folded, and the cells of the lining have what is called a brush border. The surface of every cell is made up of thousands of tiny tendrils which look like the bristles of a brush under the microscope. I would like to suggest another meaning of the words chalulim, chalulim. Here in the bowel, we have the space of the bowel. Within that space, we have spaces, the folds between the lining. And the spaces within those spaces, meaning the microspaces between the tendrils of the brush border. What amazing chokhmah lies in the words Chazal chose for this bracha. The urinary system is no less amazing. We start our journey with the kidneys, two organs about 3 inches long on either side of the aorta, which is the big central artery that distributes blood to the whole body. The blood enters the kidney and is filtered by thousands of little structures called glomeruli. Each glomerulus consists of a tiny network are very fine blood vessels which leak water and dissolved substances into a microscopic tiny bowl. The filtered water then passes through a tubule which adjusts the balance of dissolved substances. From there it goes into a fine tubule that goes way down into the middle of the kidney called the medulla. The medulla contains a high concentration of sodium which drags water out of the solution in the tubule. The solution then goes back to the outer part of the kidney where final adjustments to the urine are made, and then the urine is discharged into the bowl or pelvis of the kidney. The pelvis narrows down to become a tube called the ureter, which is endowed with strong muscle in its walls. If the ureter gets blocked by a stone, that muscle tries to move the stone down to the bladder, and the pain it generates is more severe than labor pains. The ureter empties into the bladder, which has one exit to the urethra, which discharges the urine to the outside. Here we have a fresh understanding of the words nekovim, nekovim. The glomeruli are filters which literally have millions of holes. So we have openings within openings, as well as spaces within spaces, which we saw in the digestive system. We stand in awe of Chazal, who chose words with such wisdom to describe processes that the science of their time had no way of knowing. But even more do we recognize the unfathomable wisdom of Hashem, who created man with such chokhmah, as the words of the bracha state, Asher yotzar es ha'adam bechokhmah. Goloi v'yadua livnei chiseicho edecho. It is obvious and known before your throne of glory. This phrase does not appear in any other bracha. In only one other place, in Zichronis and Rosh Hashanah, we say, Ein shikcho livnei chiseicho edecho. Nothing is forgotten before your throne of glory. It is very noteworthy that in both places this phrase is connected to the infinite knowledge of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In Zichronis it is expressed negatively, nothing is forgotten, while in our bracha it is expressed positively, that everything about the human body is clearly known by the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is telling us that the workings of the human body are part of Hashem's infinite and indescribable chokhmah with which we were created. I would like to suggest that there is a deeper meaning to be gained from the comparison of these two phrases. In Zichronis we say that every detail of a person's actions, even his intentions and the consequences thereof, are not forgotten by Hashem. Similarly, in our bracha we say that every minutest detail of the workings of the human body are under the personal hashgacha of Hashem Yisborah. Only Hashem himself knows the extent of the myriad daily miracles he performs to keep us alive, and the extent to which we are totally dependent on him for every breath of life. The Vilna Gaon explains this in a similar vein. He says, Lifnei chiseik veidecho comes to dispute and disprove the opinion of those who wish to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not involve himself in direct hashgacha in this lowly world. On the contrary, even from the Kisei HaKavod, which is elevated above this world millions of light years away, even from there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach on every detail of this lowest function of the body of every individual person in this lowly world. We understand from here that it is the greatest kavod of Hashem that he attends to the lowliest and most insignificant of matters. While we are talking about minute details, allow me to make another doctor's observation. The previous phrase, Nekovim, Nekovim, Chalulim, Chalulim, can be taken to refer to something really amazing. Until now, we have explained the multiple openings and hollow organs as referring to things which are visible to the naked eye. In fact, every single cell of the millions upon millions of cells in the body is a chalul, a space, like a tiny room, surrounded by a cell membrane, which also has openings in it. Not only that, but there are controls on what may enter the cell and what may not. Too much sodium in the cell would make it absorb water and swell up. Too little potassium in the cell would diminish its functioning. There is a sodium-potassium pump in every cell to ensure the right balance. As I said before, the words chosen by Chazal are incredibly meaningful, far beyond the scientific knowledge of their day. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach Amud Beis introduces the bracha of Asher Yotzer with a tefillah to be said before one enters the toilet. The tefillah is addressed to the angels which accompany a person all the time. It asks to be excused that although it is the normal way of all people to need to relieve themselves, it is not appropriate for holy angels to enter in a toilet. The tefillah asks the angels to wait outside. The halacha is that we do not say this, since we are not on a spiritual level to speak to angels. However, we see that the toilet is a place where angels do not tread. So who looks after a person in there? This is the only circumstance in a person's day when he is looked after only by Hashem himself, no angels. It is not surprising, therefore, that Chazal attached this bracha specifically to this activity, which is under the hashgacha of Hashem alone. And again we see that although angels cannot enter the toilet, nevertheless Hashem Yisborach is there, and His Kedusha is infinitely greater than theirs. We realize again that the greatest kavod of Hashem Yisborach is that He attends to even the minutest details. That if any one of them would be ruptured or any one of them blocked, it would be impossible to survive and stand before you. There are two main interpretations of these words. The tour, as explained by the Taz, refers us to the Gemara in Nidadav Lamed Amad Aleph, which describes the miraculous changes that occur when a baby is born. When the baby is inside the womb, it receives its oxygen and nutrition from its mother. Via the placenta, the umbilical cord carries the blood vessels which enable the baby to live without breathing air, nor eating or drinking. As soon as the baby leaves the womb and starts to breathe, the umbilicus closes off, the whole breathing apparatus opens up, and various channels which divert the blood away from the lungs while the baby is in the womb now have to close so that the blood will go to the lungs. Nistam ha-posuach v'niftach ha-sosim is how the Gemara describes it. That which was open now closes, and that which was closed now opens up. If, chas v'sholom, this amazing reversal wouldn't happen, the baby really would not survive. Rashi, however, interprets these words to refer to the activity for which we say this bracha. If the mouth and nostrils would be blocked, says Rashi, or if any of the hollow organs would rupture, a person would be unable to survive. According to Rashi's explanation, Im Yiposeach refers to the Chalulim, and Im Yisosem refers to the Nekovim. The difficulty with Rashi's explanation is that blockage of the breathing apparatus has nothing to do with the digestive functions for which this bracha was established. The Beis Yosef offers a different pshat to overcome this difficulty, and this is quoted by many others. He says that there are many Nekovim throughout the body, and the mouth which ingests food and drink is one of those openings. Similarly, there are many chalulim, hollow organs in the body, including the stomach and intestines. His chiddush is that each organ and opening has a limit as to how long it can remain closed or open as the case may be. Once this limit is exceeded, the person's existence is in danger. So if the bowels would be blocked for several days, it would become dangerous. Similarly, if they would be open, meaning the person has diarrhea and vomiting, that safe limit would soon be exceeded and the person's situation would become critical. What do the words v'la'amid lefonecha add? Many aspects of serving Hashem Yisborach require a clean body. If one is incontinent, one cannot stand and serve Hashem. Even if one is constipated and feels the need to be relieved, but is unable to do so, that can also prevent a person from saying Kriya Shema and Ushmoyne Esra. So, means it would be impossible to serve you, Hashem, with those activities which require a guf noki, a clean body. Rav Schwab Zatzal expands on this, based on the ideas we presented earlier, namely that man is not just a physical creature, but a combination of a spiritual and a physical being. As the Ramah says succinctly, Shemafli la asoiz bama sheshoimer ruach ha'odom bekirboi v'koysha dover ruchni b'dover gashmi, who works wondrously in that he maintains the spirit of man in his body and connects a spiritual entity with a physical body. The neshama of a person is derived from beneath the throne of glory, from mitachas kisei hakovod, a concept that our minds cannot comprehend. It is so elevated and holy that it is described as chelek eleka mimal, as being derived from and part of Hashem Himself, who is incomprehensible even to the angels. And this sublime soul is attached to a body which at its lowest function expels decaying matter. Isn't that absolutely incredible? Roifeichom basa rumafli la'asais, who heals all flesh and works wondrously, the conclusion of our brocha. The Gemara in Brochas Daf Samech Amud Beis brings several opinions about the ending of this brocha. Rav omer roifeicholim. Rav says, who heals the sick. Shmuel says, are you making everyone ill? Rather say, Roifei Chol Balsar, healer of all flesh. Rav Sheshes Omar Mafli La'asois. Rav Sheshes says, who works wondrously. Omar Rav Popa Nemrinu Letarvayu, Roifei Chol Balsar Mafli La'asois. Rav Popa suggests to say both of them, which is what we do. The halacha follows the opinion of Rav Popa. Rashi commends on Roifei Chol Balsar that this refers to expelling the waste from the body. Shehi Refuas Kol Haguf, which is a cure for the whole body. For many years I have quoted this Rashi as proof that refuah refers to prevention of illness, not only to healing and affliction. In fact, the Rishonim bring a stronger proof from the Pasuk, Kol ha-machlo asher santi b'mitzrayim, loy osim olecho ki ani Hashem roif echo. Over 400 years ago, Rav Moshe Makir wrote a sefer which goes through a person's day from waking up to going to sleep. He called his sefer Seder Hayoyim. When he discusses Asher Yotzar, he says the following: Biyavorech birchas Asher Yotzar bechavona v'yoyma mila b'mila kol inyoneha. One should say the bracha Asher Yotzar with intention, word by word, all its contents. V'yichavim b'chesed ha'gorul she'Hashem yizborach. And one should have in mind the tremendous kindness Hashem Yisborach does for a person every time one goes to the toilet. If a person will do so consistently, he continues, Lo yechila kol yomav, v'lo yitztarech l'roifa v'lo l'rifuasai. One will not become ill all one's days, and one will not need a doctor nor any medicine. Im kein, vaday ro'ui levorech b'chvona gemura uvedas shalema l'roifech obosun mafli la'asais. Therefore it is certainly worthwhile to say the bracha with intense concentration and clear understanding to the roifech obosar umafli la'asais. The Seder Hayom is clearly telling us that Asher Yotzar with kavona is segula for good health and all of one's life. Why should this be so? Why is this bracha singled out for so remarkable an effect? What is special about this bracha, which relates to just two functions of the body, that it nevertheless affects the health of the body as a whole? I think we can all say, after what we've already learned about this bracha, that it is not only a bracha on relieving the body of its wastes. We have learned that the bracha includes all the hollow organs of the body and their openings and their mechanisms of continence or incontinence. The words nekavim nekavim chalulim chalulim even describe the minute cells of the body. We have seen that many functions are included in the words she'im yiposech echad mehem o yisoseim echad mehem, and that a blockage or a leak can have disastrous consequences. So we are not surprised that this bracha can have a segula which affects the whole body and all its functions. Rav Shimshon David Pinkus Zatzal explains slightly differently by citing the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Samad Tes Amud Aleph, which says that a stolen item cannot become hekdesh. The thief cannot make it hekdesh because the item is not his. It still belongs to the person from whom it was stolen. The owner cannot do so because the item is not in his domain. The thief has removed it and it is now under the control of the thief. The same rule applies to an item that was given to someone to look after, a pikkudon. As long as the person is looking after it on behalf of its owner, it is as if the owner still has full control of the item. It is still in his domain. However, if the person entrusted with the item now denies that it belongs to the owner, he becomes a thief, and the law I just mentioned comes into effect. Neither the thief nor the owner can be makdish the item. Says Rav Pinkus, when a person says a brocha, he is declaring that the item he is saying the brocha over really belongs to Hashem, and he is obtaining permission to use it by saying the brocha. Asher Yotze is a brocha, as we have seen, about the whole body and all its functions. By saying the bracha, one places one's entire body with all its capabilities in Hashem's domain. The pasuk from Tehillim Lamed Aleph says, "Biyodcho avkid ruchi, I entrust my spirit into your hand, Hashem." We say it in Maariv and again in Kriyat Shema LaMitzvah when we go to bed. This pasuk declares that our bodies and souls are only given to us in trust, to look after, but not to possess. By saying this bracha, we declare that our bodies belong to Hashem, and we are not like the person who became a thief by denying the owner of that which he was given in trust to look after. I would like to end off this shiur with an inspirational insight from Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch Zatzal. All the Mefarshim about Tefillahs agree that when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, the intention cannot be that we are giving a blessing to Hashem. Hashem is completely perfect and lacks nothing. So the suggestion that he needs a blessing is tantamount to saying that Hashem lacks something, which is of course impossible. Therefore the Mefarshim say that Baruch means that Hashem is the source of all bracha, and we acknowledge this by saying Baruch Atah Hashem. Alternatively, the word bracha is related to the word berecha, a fountain. This again is an acknowledgement that Hashem is the fountainhead of all goodness and blessing. Rav Hirsch disagrees. he points out that there is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has placed out of his power. HaKol bidei shomayim chutz miyiras shomayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except the fear of heaven. Our bechira, our freedom to choose, to do right or to do wrong, is not controlled by Hashem. It is therefore something we can, in inverted commas, give to Hashem. Whenever we say a bracha, we are dedicating ourselves to Hashem. We are giving our bechira to Him by acknowledging that He is our God and Master, King of the Universe. With this item which I am about to enjoy, or this mitzvah I am about to perform, or this praise which I am about to declare, I devote my bechira in this to Hashem Himself. Since Asher Yotzeh is the bracha about the whole person, the whole guf and neshama blended wondrously together, this bracha is dedicating oneself to Hashem in deep gratitude for our amazing selves, body and soul, inexplicably melded together. We can all be really proud to be Asher Yotzeh Yid. Thank you.